Thank you for your warm invitation here as we share kind of a pulpit exchange thing between the Point Place three of us clergy. A little bit about myself. I am Pastor Cindy. I have lived in the Toledo area almost all my life. I grew up over in West Toledo, went to McKinley, which is no longer there, DeVilbiss, which is closed. I shouldn't go to any schools, right? My husband Jim and I have been married for, I don't know, somewhere 35 to 40 years now. We've lived that same amount of time out by Maumee Bay State Park. And we have two grown sons, one who went to Ohio State and stayed in Columbus and is now presently in a nursing program with Mount Carmel down there. And my other son lives here in Toledo and is working on a shipping dock. So he's a dock worker. So that's a little bit about myself, but I thank you for the invitation to just be open to this pulpit exchange that we came up with the idea. You know, it's a little bit different when normally you have like all the Lutherans will exchange pulpit or all the UCC pastors will exchange. But look at our community. And before Pastor Darlene left River Point, she was going to be part of this also. And now Pastor Donna's over at North Point at the Nazarene Church. You know, so just think of all the collegiality that we continue to do and how as a group, like we've impacted those 141 kids this week. It was so amazing, so much energy. Right, Susan? Yes. You know, and think of the things we pull together to do. The crosswalk first time this year was just phenomenal that we had on Good Friday. The Thanksgiving service is coming up. So it's just so neat, the things we come up with, and you are just also open and welcoming, you know, to the ideas that we come up with in working together of how we impact this community for Christ. So this idea came from, as clergy, we probably don't just have one story that's our favorite. We had a few of them, and we had to narrow it down to one story that we would preach on. So for me, one of my favorite stories is the woman at the well. I can identify with her, and I'll bet some of you could identify with her. She appears to be in some kind of pain, or maybe there's sorrow that's going on in her life, and she appears to be very guarded about that. She's building layers upon layers to protect herself. To protect herself from any further pain or suffering. And I bet many of our lives have layers on them. Layers upon layers that we protect ourselves from something that is buried deep down inside. With these layers, think of an onion. As I was chopping, making a salad yesterday, I'm peeling back the layers of onion thinking, this is how we are. You have to peel numerous layers to get to the center of what's going on. On an onion, you have to peel numerous layers to get to the center of that onion. And sometimes our lives are like that. We have to peel away those layers to get what is inside of us. Sometimes it is a deep, dark pain. Sometimes they're secrets. Sometimes they're habits that are less than admirable that we don't want anyone to know about. Sometimes it's an overwhelming sorrow and grief that we just can't move beyond. Whatever it is, we want to keep something deep inside of us, well guarded with layers, and keep others away from it. So we build these layers up to protect ourselves, to shield us from others. The only way people can get below those top one or two layers is if we allow them. That's what the thought was this week as I was thinking about this Samaritan woman. She came to the well that day and she had so many layers. It just appears so many layers protecting herself from what seems like more pain, more suffering. Maybe it's embarrassment. Maybe it's sorrow. I mean, think of it. She's had five husbands. If she lost five husbands from death, she's had more heartaches than probably most of us in our lifetime. But one clue that something was amiss that day as she came to the well is that she's coming to the well at noon and she is alone. The noontime was getting to be the hot part of the day. You normally didn't do chores in the heat. Usually those women would gather together in the morning in a group and go to the well, go to the river, go to the stream, the water source, and they did it in the morning in the cool breezes together. But this Samaritan woman was there by herself around the noontime hour in the heat of the day. And so we have to ask ourselves, why? I wonder why she was alone at the well at the noontime of the day. But that could have been one of her coping mechanisms. Avoid the rest of the group of the women. Less pain, less questions, less of everything that caused her whatever pain or sorrow or suffering or maybe even embarrassment of the past. We don't know for sure what it is. You know, to have five husbands in antiquity and no children would have been terribly embarrassing in that time. So here she comes to the well and she's by herself with her jar. And lo and behold, there's a man sitting by the well. Now what is she going to do? She needs the water. So she thinks to herself, okay, I'll just quietly go to the well. I'll draw my water, quietly slip away, and head back home. Her plan is working altogether well until she hears this man ask of her, give me a drink. Protocol back then was that the Jews and the Samaritans did not associate with each other. He was a Jew, as we know. She was a Samaritan. And more importantly, it was not sociably acceptable for a strange man to talk to a female without her male, you might call him protector there, usually a husband, a father, a brother. It just was not protocol that a strange man would go up to a woman and talk to her without the male person present with her. So Jesus was breaking a couple protocols here. But yet her defenses were in place. Her guard was up. Her many layers were protecting her. Some people might classify this woman as a prostitute. But you know what? Our text does not say anything about that. It just says that we don't know what brought her to the well alone. And I like to think that she just could have been so unfortunate to have married five times and lost each one to death. That situation alone would have caused so much pain and suffering and sorrow and embarrassment and rejection, and especially if there's no children involved. You know, back then, to have a son is all that was required of a woman. If she had no children, it adds to the embarrassment and the feeling of rejection that she may have. But all of a sudden, she hears this man saying to her, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. I can just picture her thinking, great. Now I have a strange guy that wants to strike up a conversation at this well, and I'm clueless what he's talking about. So she replies, and I can just imagine her gentle demeanor. Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is so very deep. But Jesus goes on to explain about the living water that he offers. A water that will not satisfy her physical thirst, but satisfies that deep down thirst that we all have. A thirst for love, for acceptance, for forgiveness, for grace, for peace. Maybe even to have a little bit of joy in her life. It will be a water that will quench her thirst for all eternity. Does she get excited about the possibility of really having this in her life? Love, joy, acceptance, peace, forgiveness, grace. Wait a minute. What did she just hear him say? Go call your husband and come back? Jesus is starting to peel at her layers. Her guard goes back up. Her defenses are all back in place. But for one reason or another, she lowers her guard a little bit to respond to him. I have no husband. And Jesus says, you are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. But notice that Jesus doesn't condemn her, does he? He doesn't judge her. Jesus feels whatever pain she has that is deep down within from those losses of losing five husbands. I like to think that Jesus just really quickly, immediately peeled off five layers that she's been hiding with that acknowledgement. I know you've had five husbands. It's okay. So now Jesus is going beyond those top layers. Jesus is going down deeper, deeper into the inside where her thirsty soul is and offering her a hope in the coming Messiah. But she says, you know, I know that the Messiah is coming. But when he comes, maybe he can explain to me why life has turned out this way for me. Why? Five husbands, maybe no children, only living with a man now. Who knows why? Who knows what the reason is? But then to her astonishment, Jesus replies to her, I am he. I am the Messiah. And you don't need a bucket to receive the living water that I am talking about. I wonder, is this the first time in her life that she has heard such hope for her life? There are so many things we don't know about this woman. But we know two things for sure, two things that are happening in this story that Tammy just read for us. First, Jesus is peeling back the layers that this woman has built up to protect herself from whatever has gone on in her life, whatever's happened in her life and caused her pain or suffering or anguish or sorrow. Could have been something with the women. She wasn't with them. Was there a reason? Could have been the men that she loved, and for one reason or another, they're not there anymore. It could be that society just doesn't care about her anymore. But just like an onion, Jesus is peeling back layer after layer that is filled with pain, suffering, anguish, maybe embarrassment, maybe rejection, who knows what other emotional issues. And the second thing we know that is going on right now, as Jesus peels back those layers of pain, Jesus is filling her up with the living water that only Jesus offers. Jesus is not judging her. Jesus is not judging her life or what's gone on in her life. Jesus is not judging the choices that she's made in life. Not judging that she's been a widow five times, who knows why. All Jesus is doing is acknowledging her well-protected darkness and offering to bring the light of Christ, into that darkness. Let that darkness that's buried deep within her be drenched with the living water. And isn't that what Jesus offers all of us? We all have layers, just like an onion. And some of those layers cover up some painful experiences that just happen with life, don't they? Some of them have to do with sorrow and sadness and grief, and some of them are just darkness that doesn't want to come into the light of Christ. Our layers can include so many things. Some of the things they can include is being a workaholic and justifying it. Loving material items and rationalizing it. Being addicted to drugs or alcohol and denying it. Holding on to prejudice because, well, that's what my parents taught me to do. The list goes on and on about the layers we build up around ourselves. But just as Jesus drew this Samaritan woman into conversation and into a faith in the cross and the death and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus draws us into him, where we find our hope for tomorrow. The well of living water is never too deep for us to access. It is never too far away. It is within our reach to quench our thirsty souls with that abundant life that Jesus offers us. A life that is nurtured by the Spirit with things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control. And when we are drenched with the living water and the Spirit is active in our lives, these layers that we all have start to turn into layers of faith for Jesus Christ, don't they? And when we focus on loving Jesus and loving our neighbor, Jesus continues to peel back the layers, and the healing starts to happen. Change starts to happen within us and in our lives, and our faith in Jesus increases. Notice that this woman at the well, she left her water jar when she ran back to the city. You wouldn't do it. They couldn't go down to the dollar store and buy another water jar back then. But I like to think that that was the symbolism, that part of her layers were also left, laying on the ground as she left. She didn't need those layers anymore. Jesus was starting to peel back the layers, and some of them may have been left there. She's now started down a path of walking in the living water of Christ. So think about the layers that we all have. What layers of your life can you allow Jesus to peel back, to drench what's deep down inside you with that living water that only Jesus offers? Think about what you might have to leave at the well. She left the jar. What might we leave at the well? What emotions? What pain? Maybe an unforgiving heart, maybe anger issues, maybe who knows what, addictions, sorrow or grief that is overwhelming your life. Could be something that I classify as like the idols in our world out there, you know? A lot of things are idols, aren't they? Materialism, the technological stuff, all kinds of things. To leave at the well. Leave at the well and come to the living water of Jesus. Come freely to Jesus, as we just sang. Come freely to Jesus, the one who doesn't judge, doesn't condemn, but through his death and resurrection brings about healing and blessings. The well is deep, but it's filled with living water for each and every one of you. Filled with living water, full of God's grace and God's love. So just dip it out of the well. Amen.